on the air, online, on Twitter. Rob Kerr is back. Hang on, here come the lawsuits. Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Again, we're trying to score on every play. Every play, we've got it. We're not a concede type team, so we're trying to find ways to score on every single play. Understand, we're going out there to try to win the game on every play.
You know what? They could have come out in the second half, and everybody could have gone 2 and out, kicked a bunch of rouges, and the game could have ended, blah, 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 I don't know, 19-18. I don't care. The fact that Chris Jones went into the playbook and ran that fake, ran Grimes on a sweep, you couldn't run that play in the NFL. It's only in the Canadian League can you run it because of the width of the field. But we got it. We got what we wanted. We wanted to pump a little life into the CFL. We didn't want the dreck, and dare I say dreck, it's not the old CFL. It's not the CFL in danger. We got to be positive, be positive, be positive. Everybody's losing money. No! Outside of Toronto, we've got teams on stable footing, so we can now assess the product. Was that a classic? No. Was that worth being put on a DVD? No. But you know what it was? It was memorable. And there's lots to talk about. And when you watch a football game, what do you want to do? You want to debate. You want to argue. You want, yes, the Jeff Fuller catch. He goes up. Wow. Unbelievable. Go buy your tickets to any Stampeder game you can get. Watch Jeff Fuller, because I'm here to tell you, he ain't going to be back. He's going south of the border. We'll talk to Arash Madani later on about that. I wonder what he thinks. I wonder if he thinks Jeff Fuller's one and done in the CFL. I think he is. No, it was not shoot 'em out, lights out, offenses, gunslingers, everything. No, no. Yes, up in Edmonton. Oh, Calgary got lucky. Okay, sure. Absolutely. Whatever you want to say. I don't care. Stampeders, Bo Levi Mitchell, found a way to win. But enough of that. Back to what everybody's talking about. What everybody's making jokes about. We love it. Give me something. Out of the blue, out of the box, give me something. Give me something that conventional wisdom says you should never do in a million years. And that's what Chris Jones did. The end of the game, Chris Jones doesn't shake hands with John Huffnagle. Kids, always be a good sport. We practice good sportsmanship. All right, kids, now go to the other room. Give me a rival. Give me a guy in a black hat. Yeah, they don't like us. We don't like them. Good. Perfect. Let's not pretend. Yes, there's a place and a time. I agree. And yeah, we should, you know, I'm, you know, being hypocritical here for what I stand. But you know what? It's freaking entertainment. And last night, I was entertained. I was entertained by Odell Willis dropping a ball thrown right to him. Right in the numbers. Right there. Pick it up. Nope. Jeff Fuller climbing the ladder. If you were watching two screens like me, the game on TV and Twitter, the 50-50 was fascinating. $340,000. Maybe two players on the field make that in a year. They kept saying, well, it's 40,000 people at Commonwealth. No, there's not. I'm looking in the stands. It was like 13,000. They were all in the concourse, lined up, trying to buy 50-50 tickets. Darren Rovell from ESPN is talking about this. I got things to talk about. I want things to talk about. That game gave us things to talk about. Good, bad, and different. Yes, Stampeders are banged up. Here's what we know. It's not good for Canadian running backs right now. It's not going well. Mm-hmm. As we find out today, Matt Walter, concussion. It's not good for offensive linemen. Two of them with sprained ankles. We'll get into that a little later on. Jones and Craighead, I believe, is who I'm talking about. Yep. But, and we're packed up today. Oh, this is when we should go late because we got so much to talk. Ian Leggett's coming up. We got a golfing legend coming on. We've got Sam Bennett. Who knows what he'll become? Maybe a legend. We got Arash Madani. Eric Francis sitting on hold here in a second. But let me get back to the play. Let me get back to Chris Jones. Should he have done it? No. Was it a smart play? No. I can do that. I can sit here on the fence and go, well, I wouldn't do it. Anybody who's ever played Madden, come on. We've done that. And I always love stuff. I always love stuff that you would do in a video game, would never be caught doing live in real life, and somebody that I would do.
Yep.
But here's why. 11 years ago, right here on this very radio station, arguably the best sports talk host this city has ever seen, Joe Sports, lost his frickin' mind. Jim Barker, as the head coach of a team that was not expected to do much, hosting the defending Grey Cup champions, first game of the year, somehow, some way, Barker got his team to overtime. You remember this?
Yep.
Montreal kicks a field goal. Calgary drives. Third and short on the goal line. Kick the field goal, tie, keep overtime, take the tie, whatever. Barker goes for it.
Yep.
Barker goes for it. Joe Sports sat 50 feet from where we are right now, and he railed against it, and he had the biggest poop-eating grin on his face. He loved stuff like that. That was, you can't do that. And I only wish people could see how he just loved every minute of it. And what I also remember about that is Jim Barker came on the next day, and he defended it. Our team's being dumped on by everybody. Nobody thinks we're going to do anything. Nobody likes us. Nobody's picking us. If we score right there, my guys believe. Chris Jones going up against the evil empire, the Calgary Stampeders. That's how he's selling it. We haven't beaten these guys in 8 games. He's watching a first half in which special teams for the Stampeders are absolutely ruling the day. But Bo Levi Mitchell couldn't do anything. His defense, Grimes was everywhere for the Eskimos. Everywhere. And Jones thinks to himself, because you asked the question, well, okay, so he gets a first down, then what? There's only seconds to go. Yeah. What are you going to do? You're not even in, you're barely in field goal range at your own end, let alone the opposition. That, as he said in that clip, we're trying to score all the time. This, love it, smart play, wrong play. Every once in a while, a coach seizes the opportunity. And if he makes that play, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening right now, do we have Francis on? Get Francis, because he's gonna be grumpy. We're supposed to have Eric Francis on briefly, but not before I'm done. Yes, it's not the right play. It's not the smart play. But I get it. I understand it. And in a world so politically correct, in a world with parameters, in a world where we now statistically look at every probability, every once in a while, you have got to do something that says, gentlemen, I believe in you. Chris Jones did that. It failed. Stampeders win.
Did it change the entire game? I think it did. I think it changed the entire momentum. Well, obviously, might have changed. The Stampeders came out the next play.
He
got a
didn't
touchdown.
Miss. Look, the Stampeders made a hell of a play on that.
Yeah, they did.
Right. That's the one thing. We talk about
your Jeff Fuller conversation.
Talk about how wacky that play was. If the Stampeders didn't make a hell of a cover on that, Grimes was about a half yard away. You know, then the Eskimos...
And we're not talking about it, but...
We believe. Look, there's cults in the 70s and 80s that lived on belief. You know, the Moonies. Whoever. Yeah. We gotta believe.
I think it's wrong place, wrong time.
Loved it. Loved every minute of it. Also today, as we go down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline, speaking of guys thinking outside the box, thinking of guys who take risks, our good friend Eric Francis from Jack FM, the Calgary Sun, Sportsnet. You, sir, are part of a what is now a dynasty. You know, I don't really want to get into too many details, so let me throw the floor over to you. Can you maybe just explain what you and I were doing about an hour and a half ago?
Well, about an hour ago, the crowd finally subsided, chanting MVP for you, Mr. Kerr.
Thank you.
All-star goaltender. No, we had, you know, it was our third annual. Just a charity ball hockey game against the WestJet Street Hockey League. You know what? Like, and it might sound like, for those people who've never experienced it, WestJet has this wonderful, I mean, we all know
amazing.
That WestJet has this wonderful culture, and everybody knows it's one of the best companies to work for, and probably in the world, and let alone Alberta and Calgary. And we're so proud of it here in Calgary. And they have this ball hockey league that just speaks to the great culture that they have with their employees there. And they play a couple times a week in between the two hangars at their campus. And literally, it's complete with screams of car, throughout the games, every lunch hour. And what I think is really the best thing is that, you know, people come out and watch. Now, not every day when they have their regular league, but every year we organize a media hack team, and we play against their all-star team. And somehow, amazingly, 3 years in a row, we've overcome massive deficits at the half to win the game, and it's all because of you, Mr. Kerr, in net.
Well, I can't argue. I really I can't. I think the typical thing would be to self-deprecate and kind of walk away and throw your arms up in the air, go, oh gosh, no, it was you guys. But I got to be honest with you. Some of the things I was able to do today were just simply amazing. Not only did I make stops, but I somehow managed to get my mask caught in the mesh of the net and choke myself out, which was, again, professional goalies can't even do that.
Unprecedented.
Unprecedented injuries.
Last year, our great friend Charlie Simmer,
yes,
finished the game, of course, because he's a true NHLer. He had fallen at one point as part of the game. Again, it's a very friendly game. It's not like a lot of ball hockey games, which can get a little stupid. He just fell awkwardly, smashed his glasses, a cut on his head that probably should have taken some stitches, and broke his knuckle, ended up missing his club championships that weekend. I mean, that's how serious it was. But I also have to note, not one hair was out of place after the incident.
Never, never, never.
It was incredible.
Never.
And anyway, he was a solid contributor last year. That was the only injury I've seen. Like, I can't hardly walk right now because of my back, but you know, where we had to stop the game, and we didn't have to stop for Charlie. We had to stop for you. I thought we had our first serious injury.
Well,
anyone who plays like ice hockey in net and then tries to translate that game into road hockey knows how jarring it can be. And when you were crumpled on the ground there, I thought you'd tore your knee or something.
No, it was just me somehow getting my mask caught in the mesh of the net. And then when I tried to get up, and Brandon Parker from Global was kept, because I'm really, with that much gear on, I'm a big turtle. If I get on my back, I'm hooped.
Yeah.
And Brandon was there to try and help me up, and every time he lifted me, it was my mask was choking me. And the best part about it were all the fans there who were going, oh, this is so funny. Look at him. Look at the clown. He's so funny. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters. And I nearly died.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
It is kind of funny when you think about it.
It is kind of funny, yeah.
You know, given the way it ended. But, no, anyway, you know what? Pretty cool. Again, this road hockey league, the street hockey league that Louie and these Kim and the people at WestJet run, Richard and Craig Suretsky was there, their big boss. They've raised $30,000 over the last 3 years.
Amazing, isn't it?
For Ronald McDonald House, Alberta. And we know the great work they do there. That's also part of why Cassie Campbell comes on. We should mention she was on the other team.
Yeah,
no one saw her out there, but she was on the other team.
Did you know, little known fact, Cassie Campbell scored against me? I believe that's the first time that Cassie has scored against me in any kind of charity event in almost a decade.
And she mentioned before the game that she was using a stick from one of her gold medal games.
Yeah.
She just grabbed it out of the garage. I mean, that's the kind of thing you and I do every day, just grab a gold medal
stick. Oh, no, yeah, she just happens to have a bunch of them.
And go out and grab one of those twigs. And she said, this stick hasn't scored in X amount of years, dating back to the gold medal game. I have to say, the goal that she scored, it was rife with controversy, and it ended up not counting. So your streak is still alive.
Oh, okay, because, you know, I have to be honest with you. I just wanted to let her have one. I mean, they were there to kind of watch her. There's a lot of people there to watch Cassie.
Are you suggesting she plays like a girl?
No. No.
That's an old line.
That's
right?
Something I'd say about Jermaine Franklin. Or, you know.
And half the players on our team.
And I got to be honest with you, for a guy who scored 50 in the NHL, Simmer's no screaming hell in this event.
I'm going to defend him.
Are you?
Because somebody needed to stay back behind the center half mark.
Speaking of which,
and that was him.
I have, in this kind of open-ended conversation you and I are having about this game,
nobody cares about.
You are usually the offensive thrust of everything. Watching you defend a 3-on-1 today was amazing. You looked absolutely clueless. You just didn't know what to do. You didn't have the ball. What am I supposed to do?
I like to consider myself a finisher. Other people use the word goal suck.
Yes,
I think finisher is a far more attractive term. I'm a role player in that regard.
Right.
This year, somehow found myself defending, I think, twice. And I haven't seen the stat sheet yet. I know that a lot of the guys are all about their stats. Jock Wilson was very proud of the fact that he was only minus three today.
Well, and he didn't score on me this year.
That's huge.
That was hey, look, he's moving up, right?
Yeah. So there were a lot of very positive steps this year. But yeah, I did block two shots.
Two shots hit you.
On the stat sheet, that should count, right? I don't know. I was making a change.
All right, let's. Before I let you go, in all fairness, we do want to tip our hat to WestJet and the $30,000 that goes directly to Ronald McDonald House here in Calgary. And what was really neat is we did have a family come in today with a testimonial of how it's helped them out, and that really kind of puts it all in perspective. You know,
yeah.
Oh, Francis is asking us to play in an event, but I love it because you know that whatever WestJet was able to do was making a difference, and that's amazing to me.
Yeah, I know you and I both went over to shake that man's hand.
And
what he's going through right now is pure hell, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy or anyone on Cassie Campbell's team. anyway, you know what? It was a great day, and thanks for having me on. Just to tip our hat, like you said, to WestJet.
Well, we really got to move on because we've got an actual golf expert, Ian Leggett, coming on.
I know. Talk real sports. You know, maybe talk to me in the fall.
Well, you know what? Good on you. Congratulations. I know this is the third year in a row you've herded the cats or organized the media team, but you deserve some credit for that.
MVP.
They were chanting my name.
You're definitely going to be back next year, my friend. At least as for second stringer.
Everybody loves a turtle. All right, talk to you later, Francis. There you go. Eric Francis, Jack FM in the Calgary Sun. Big thanks to WestJet Street Hockey for hosting us as well, Cassie Campbell. Big Chief Paul. Big Chief's everywhere, man. Big Chief was there, Coca-Cola, all these people out helping Ronald McDonald House in Southern Alberta. And if I don't like to talk. I really don't like to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Big day. 5-point game in the 7HL this morning. Goal and four helpers. First time in 4 years I've scored from the circles.
You are in your glory today. What a day.
I am telling you, this might be the single greatest day. You might want to leave
that
with Ian
Leggett. How's tomorrow going to be, though, for you?
Tomorrow.
Waking up.
I don't know how.
Two games?
Yeah,
ooh.
Two games. No, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've broken a finger. The Canadian Open continues when we come back. Golf legend Ian Leggett joins the program. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Part of Canada's most extensive sports network. TV, online, magazine, and radio. Proud to serve Calgary and Southern Alberta. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Big Show on your Friday afternoon. Josh Humphries, Rob Kerr with you as we get you closer and closer to your weekend. Lots to get through this afternoon. Coming up in about half hour, top of the hour, it is Football Fridays. But before that, kind of 2:45, Sam Bennett going to join the program after signing his entry-level deal with the Calgary Flames. But before we go any farther, very pleased to be joined down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline by Ian Leggett, covering golf for Sportsnet, and it is the RBC Canadian Open ongoing this weekend from Montreal. And Ian, thanks a lot for doing this. Appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Perfect, perfect. I guess I want to start with obviously the big story of the day. That's Weyburn's Graham Dillette, a course record for him, a 63, 7-under on the day. He's now 8-under for the tournament for the first two rounds. A bit of a, I guess, bounce back for him today.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, he hasn't been playing his best of late. I mean, his ball striking still is quite intact. But, you know, if there's a time to get your game back, it might as well be at your own National Open. It was a perfect time to do it. You know, the crowds this week in Montreal are a little low. It's a national holiday this week, or a construction holiday in Montreal or something like this. So the fan base this week has been a little low. So if one way to get the people out to watch is to have Graham Dillette near the top of that leaderboard.
What did you see kind of difference from him today than what you saw from him yesterday? Yesterday, not a bad day. He was 1-under after round one. But, of course, the big day today, the course record. What did you see difference in his two rounds?
Well, you know, I talked to him about it on Monday, and I think, you know, he said he's been playing extremely well, hitting it really good. But, you know, when a player shoots a score like that, I mean, it's just, you know, they just get into a different space than they're used to. And, I mean, no different than Rory McIlroy talked about it last week. He wishes he could get to that, you know, mental space that he, every single time he played. But, it, you know, some of the times that just doesn't happen. But the other thing was today, you know, playing with Furyk and feeding off of him, the two of them just kind of walked around this golf course today and just totally took advantage of it and fed off of each other. But for Graham to, you know, get going in the right direction bodes pretty nicely for the rest of the year, never mind this weekend.
And other Canadians, obviously tons of Canadians in the field. Another couple of guys just want to focus on Taylor Pendrith, the amateur. Great day yesterday, 500 was right in it today. Not as good. He's 5 over. What did you see from him so far? And I guess maybe what do you know about this young guy? Kind of unknown to, you know, the majority of the country, majority of golf fans as an amateur, but really made a name for himself yesterday at least.
Yeah, he's a star, this kid. I mean, he just hits it off the end of the earth. It's ridiculous how far he hits it. He hit it on a par 4 yesterday, not meaning to, and hit it into the group in front of him. So 365-yard drive yesterday. So I think we're looking at, you know, a potential, you know, you're always talking about the next Tiger, the next Mike Weir, those type of things. And, you know, Taylor, if he can just, you know, sort of bide the course with the direction he's been going, he's the 18th ranked amateur in the world. I mean, so he's not just got into this event as really no one that's recognized in the collegiate golf space. He's recognized as probably the best player in college golf. So, I mean, he struggled today, obviously a little nervous. First Canadian Open, never mind being near the leaderboard. So, first professional golf tournament, all that laid on a young kid like that, and him to go out and handle the pressure the way he has is pretty nice.
Is that kind of expected to maybe have those struggles when you're an amateur? You talk about being Canadian, your first major, you know, your first professional golf tournament, things like that. Is it kind of expected that you're going to have at least one bad round?
You would think so. I mean, obviously there's been the exceptions in the past, those players that are kind of prepped themselves for this stage. But, I mean, you know, Taylor gets off the course yesterday and he's got 15 cameras in his face. Yeah. He's not quite used to that type of, you know, interaction after a round of golf. So, I mean, those are the things that he just has to get used to as he starts to evolve into professional golf. And he's planning on turning professional this fall. And, you know, he's going to get lots more opportunities to, you know, be thrown into the fire like that. And the more times you do it, the more comfortable you get used to it. You know how to handle yourself, you know, in the evening, you know, to get some rest. You know how to handle yourself the next day to keep your mental level right and not get too high and get out of your comfort zone. And that's pretty much what happened today.
One other Canadian I want to focus on, David Hearn, 3 under now. He shot a round of even par today, but I guess your thoughts on him so far. He's right in the middle of the pack, definitely in contention heading into the weekend.
Playing very nice. I mean, obviously got a lot of confidence last week getting into the British Open as an alternate and playing well in his first trip over there. And coming back, you know, he's handled the jet lag quite nicely. He said he's fully rested. But, you know, David's game goes like that. He's an ebbs and flow kind of guy. He doesn't do anything extremely well. I mean, he just does everything really, really nice. And you put the whole package together when it's all ticking, this is what you get. You know, he should have one victory already under his belt right now, losing a heartbreak playoff last year to Jordan Spieth at the John Deere. So, I mean, he knows what it's like, and he knows to, you know, when his game is functioning, what he does well and how he takes advantage of it. And Royal Montreal is a perfect golf course for his type of game.
Ian Leggett joining us down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline, covering golf for Sportsnet, obviously talking about the RBC Canadian Open. Moving away from the Canadians, obviously, Jim Furyk, the veteran on top, been pretty cool to see him leading the way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, a former champion of the Canadian Open, and two, coming off a very, very strong finish at the British Open last week. And, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the funkiness of his golf swing, but it's a repeatable golf swing. You know, another guy who doesn't overpower a golf course and whose game isn't going to deteriorate because all of a sudden he starts to lose 20 or 30 yards off the tee as he gets older. His game's going to stay the same, you know, as long as Jim goes to the first tee. So, but, you know, he's had some opportunities. Obviously, losing that U.S. Open at Olympic is still probably wearing on him. One of those, you know, tournaments that has escaped him. He should have won the Players' Championship this year. Played great at the British last week. So, you know, Jim Furyk is still the Jim Furyk that we've known, you know, for the last 20 years.
You talk about, of course, Jim Furyk, one of them, and David Hearn, another of these guys coming over from the British Open. How difficult is it for those guys to come from over in Europe and then get ready for the RBC Open? Is that like a really tough transition? I mean, aside from the jet lag?
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's the time change and the jet lag and, you know, the other thing that people don't put into that equation is the up, the high that these players go through playing in a major. There's much more, mental wear down that you go through outside the physical of having to, you know, do that travel. I mean, RBC does a great job. Golf Canada does a great job. They send to have a charter plane that, you know, flies directly into Montreal to get the guys here as soon as they're finished playing on Sunday. So there's a lot of, you know, good comes out of it, and they do everything they possibly can to get the best players in the world here. But, you know, some of them just don't see the value in coming to the Canadian Open after playing the British because how difficult the strain is on their body.
And that's maybe something I want to talk to you a little bit about. I know you're on with the guys in Toronto on the Jeff Blair Show a little bit earlier today, kind of talking about what we can do to make the RBC Canadian Open bigger, or at least as big as it once was. I guess, in your mind, is it just that, you know, having it so close to the British Open that really takes away from this tournament? Are there some other things that we can do to make this tournament as big as it once was?
Well, that's the key point to this, is moving it away into a key date that's not up against any of the majors. It's, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before a major that gets you guys are using it. The best players in the world are using it for preparation of a major. So getting it into a slot on the schedule that isn't up against such a difficult week. And the other one is just, you know, maintaining, you know, a schedule of the best venues in Canada. If they can put that, you know, on a four-course rotation, then the players are familiar with the golf courses. Players on the PGA Tour do not like going to new venues, you know. So when a new tournament pops up and they're moving it to a new golf course and all that type of stuff, players do not like that. They like the familiarity of golf courses, places they've been around before. Their caddies have books, they've mapped out greens, they kind of know it like they played it 1,000 times. So if the Golf Canada can get into a rotation like that, and you know, maybe one day we'll move it away, they'll get the opportunity to move into the schedule on a key week, and then we're going to start seeing the best players in the world playing the Canadian Open again.
Just maybe a question about where we're at in this game for Canada, and not just in the terms of the RBC Canadian Open or that, but just in games general. We know what, tennis is starting to become so popular here. I mean, they want to get back in it with the soccer. Lots of other sports Canada is really starting to make strides in. You see guys like Graham Dillat and David Hearn, even the young guys like Taylor Pender, some amateurs coming through. In your mind, where is golf in Canada right now? Are we where we need to be? Can, you know, obviously can be better, but are you happy with the amount of players that we have representing the country?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we're going to see a surge in the next 2 to 3 years. And the only reason why tennis is on an upswing is because the best player, you know, two of the best players in the world on the men's and ladies side are from Canada, and mm-hmm. kids' interest is piqued by them. Yeah. And this is where it's coming from. And so if we can get, you know, this next crop of players, I mean, if we can get Adam Hadwin and Roger Sloan and, you know, David Hearn and Graham Dillat out there winning tournaments, winning majors, becoming top 50 players in the world, we're going to see the kids come yeah. back to the game. It's no different. There's a reason why there's so many kids playing the game in Australia and South Africa, you know, in Sweden, you know, if you want to compare climates. It's because of guys like Henrik Stenson. You know, they're playing the game of golf. And they want to grow up and be just like him. Right now, you know, hockey takes such a precedence over mm-hmm. kids' lives that I think once we get some of those younger, cooler kids that are playing the game of golf and winning on the Canadian side, we're going to see a movement for these kids to take up the game.
Yeah, and we're certainly seeing it in basketball now with guys like Andrew Wiggins getting drafted first overall. That's starting to grow as well. So definitely would be good to see it grow in golf as well. Ian, thanks a lot for this. Some really good stuff, really strong stuff from you. Really appreciate it today.
Thanks.
There you go. That is Ian Leggett joining us down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline, talking RBC Canadian Open and some really strong stuff there, and how we could really grow the game of golf in this country and get it back to where, you know, maybe it once was, not only just with the RBC Canadian Open, but the game in general. Josh Humphries with you on your Friday afternoon, the big show. We'll take a break when we come back on the other side. Rob Kerr going to step into the chair. Very special guest we have coming onto the program. Sam Bennett signs his entry-level deal with the Calgary Flames today. Not earth-shattering news. You knew it was going to come at some point. Happens to come today. We'll bring Sam Bennett into the conversation as well to talk about that and a little bit about his offseason with the Flames. Still to come, Football Fridays. Arash Madani going to join us. Jordan Heath-Rawlings going to talk some NFL and the lack of suspension to Ray Rice. And we just confirmed that we will hear from Keaton McDougal, the man who blocked the punt for a touchdown for the Calgary Stampeders yesterday. He had a massive game, the early favorite for Special Teams Player of the Week. Going to join us on the program as well as Football Fridays still to come this afternoon. This is The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, The FAN. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
What it is it's a two-way deal in the first year and a one-way deal in the second year. And, you know, the way we look at Yoni right now is, I think the people that followed our team and followed Yoni's progress, he took a significant step here last season.
That's Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Now, that was yesterday, talking about re-signing Yoni Ortio to a two-year deal. The first year's a two-way, the second year's one-way. Brad Treliving is going to join us again today. It's like he's becoming part of the crew. He'll join us at 4 o'clock because that'll be our big story. And our big story of the day will be that the Flames signed our next guest. Joining us down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline is the Flames' first-round pick, fourth overall this past June at the draft in Philadelphia. Sam Bennett signing his first National Hockey League contract today and good enough to give us some time. I guess the best place to start, Sam, is congratulations. I saw a picture you threw out on Instagram of you actually signing the document. You seem pretty stoked.
Yeah, I am. I'm so excited. You know, this is a moment that every kid dreams about, and you know, for that to come true today, it really is surreal.
Was it? I don't think it was a difficult negotiation. Was it? Was it something that took a while? Were you worried or anything like that, or is it just a matter of time and then it got done?
No, it's pretty basic. The entry level contracts aren't too difficult, so I let my agent handle most of the negotiating, and you know, it went pretty smoothly, and I'm happy that we got it done with so quickly.
Were you aware that other first rounders were getting signed? Because I know people texting our radio station were certainly aware of that.
Yeah, yes, I am aware of other players being signed. Definitely, a lot of them are my friends, so you know, it's good to see you.
Can you take us back? I guess now we're talking about a six-week window and what this has been like for you. I mean, you come to Calgary prior to the draft, you do the visit, you get picked by the Flames, you come to prospect camp right away. How do you describe the kind of, and I don't want to say ups and downs because I'm assuming all of this has been positive, but what's it been like for you the last 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's been crazy, but, you know, it's been a lot of fun. You know, since the draft, it's just flown by, and you know, it's crazy to think about how long ago the draft was. It feels like just yesterday, and then today I'm signing. It's amazing how fast it goes, but you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every minute of it, and you know, just trying to keep getting better.
Let me ask you this. Let's say there's a player in Kingston right now that's getting set to go into his draft year. Now that you've gone through the whole thing, not necessarily advice, but what would you tell him? What's the one thing that maybe surprised you in a good way or caught you off guard in a positive way? What was that whole experience like?
Well, I just say enjoy it. You know, don't worry about little things too much, about the rankings or anything like that. You know, you really just gotta just enjoy it and, you know, just play your game. And, you know, it really does fly by, but it's a lot of fun. And I hope all the best for all those upcoming players.
Sam Bennett's our guest, the Calgary Flames' first-round pick from the draft. He signed his contract today. He joins us down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. Tell me about your experience now. It's been a couple of weeks since you were in Calgary for the prospect camp. What did you take away from that?
Yeah, it was a great camp. It was the first time putting the Flames jersey on, so that was pretty cool. And you know, I really just learned just how much you got to pay attention to the little details in the NHL, and that's one thing that the coach there, he really really prided on us. So that's definitely something that I'm going to be more aware of.
What are the details, Sam? I mean, not all of them, because I'm sure there's a bunch, but give us an example, because we hear that all the time. But for a guy who's excelled at your level and now you're going to that next level, what are the details that you have to be aware of?
Well, it's just little things like, you know, stopping for pucks, not doing the big loop. They showed me some video of me doing that actually in the rookie camp there. So, you know, it's just little things like that you really got to be aware of. And, you know, it's not going to fly in the NHL. So, You got to cut those as soon as you can.
What about the size difference? I mean, obviously you went up against some older players, a guy like David Wolf. You probably saw a little bit of Keegan Kanzig, who's a human mountain. what was it like going against older and bigger guys?
Yeah, well, you know, I've always been playing against older, bigger guys in the OHL as well. So,
sure.
You know, that's not really something I'm too worried about. You know, there's always going to be bigger guys, but it's just how you play, and I think I play a pretty solid game.
Tell me about the part of your game that worked, that was really good in that camp, that, yeah, okay, that I don't have to worry about. What was that one aspect, your couple aspects of your game that were right ready to go?
Well, I think it's just, you know, my compete level. I always compete, and I think I'm a pretty smart player, so I didn't have any trouble being in the right spot at the right time. So I think those are two things that really helped me in that camp.
Tell me about Johnny Gaudreau.
Oh, he's an unbelievable player. The skill set on that guy is unbelievable. Sometimes I would just sit back and just watch him in awe, the things he can do with the puck. So I was fortunate enough to get to play with him a little bit, and you know, I love playing with him.
What, do you, when you see him, when you play with him, do you look at him as a small player? Do you ever think, he's a small player, or do you just, you know, that doesn't even come into the frame of reference here because of the things he does?
No, I don't think it really matters. You know, he's such a smart player, and he knows where to be. So, really, his size, it doesn't really affect the way he plays at all.
Sam Bennett's our guest now on the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. First opportunity for the coaching staff to test drive you. First opportunity for you to kind of deal with the people in Calgary. What did you make of the coaches and the trainers and all of that?
Oh, I love them all. You know, they all seem really positive about me and about the future for this team. So, it looks like they're all really committed to, you know, getting the most out of me and the team. So, you know, I'm really excited to work with them in the future.
Sam Bennett's our guest down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. Have you had a chance to take a deep breath yet?
A little bit, but not really. I really have been all over the place, and you know, I'm not really going to get too much because I'll be heading to the World Junior summer camp in a couple weeks. So. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind for sure, but you know, I'm enjoying all of it.
How's the family handling this? It's got to be somewhat rewarding for you, isn't it? I mean, all the sacrifices they make to get you to hockey, now kind of seeing the your parents and everybody, your family and friends go through. Have you enjoyed that part?
Yeah, I have for sure. You know, my family's been a huge part to my success, and you know, they've sacrificed so much for me. So you know, days like this where you sign your first NHL contract. It really is just as rewarding for them as it is for me.
Sam, you mentioned the Hockey Canada camp coming up. Tell me a little bit about it. What are you expecting? What do you hope to gain out of a camp like this?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a really good camp. And, you know, anytime you get a chance to represent your country, it's obviously a huge honor. So, you know, you're always looking to do your best in front of your country. And, you know, I'm just really excited for the camp.
Do you, and I'm trying to think of the best way to answer this question, do you have your eye on two prizes here? I mean, obviously you want to have a great Flames camp and make them make a decision on keeping you, but are you also, you know, how important are the World Juniors to you?
Yeah, it's obviously Erica's dream. They always watch the World Juniors growing up, but, you know, ultimately the real dream is to play in the NHL, so. You know, I think that's where my mind's really set right now. But, you know, whatever happens, I think it's going to be the best for my development. And, you know, I'm excited to see what happens.
What's your workout like? Who are you training with? Are you up with some pro players? Are you getting kind of exposed to that as you work out here in the summer in preparation for camp?
Yeah, for sure I am. I train with Andy O'Brien 5 times a week. And, you know, just yesterday I was running hill sprints with John Tavares. So, you know, I see a bunch of NHL guys in the gym with me, and a bunch of them are training with me. So, you know, it's really beneficial to train beside those guys.
Is it casual as a comer? Are you allowed to ask a couple of questions, or are you the young guy and you kind of have to mind your P's and Q's?
No, they're all pretty, laid back guys, and, you know, they're really easy to talk to. So, you know, I think we're all pretty good buddies, I guess.
John Tavares always struck me as a real quiet guy. Is he a quiet guy when you're running hills?
He's focused, that's for sure. He's definitely really focused, yeah.
Sam Bennett's our guest, just signed his entry-level contract with the Calgary Flames. Sam, and I'm sure you were asked this at the draft by the guys on this radio station, but I'm curious. Is it significant to you to be the highest ever draft pick by the Calgary Flames at fourth overall?
No, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that too much. Obviously, I've heard that, and you know, that's a huge honor. But I don't think that really affects me too much. I'm just gonna, you know, play my game and not worry about that kind of stuff too much.
I guess my final question for you, the deal is done. You're coming to camp, you know, the wide open door. What does Sam Bennett have to do in September to crack an NHL roster?
Well, I think I just got to show that, you know, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to be there. You know, I got to be committed, and I think I am. And I think that just showing the coaching staff there and everyone that I am committed to do the details and, you know, be a professional.
All right. Enjoy your new contract. I do have to ask, though, the response you've been getting. I know you Instagrammed the picture of you signing it, but you got a little advice from an NHL tough guy. Did you see Biz Nasty tweet you?
Yes, I did. I replied to that tweet as well.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. He's a guy that I love his tweets, so definitely have him tweet at me. That's pretty funny, and I appreciated that.
Sam, enjoy the contract. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Good luck at the World Junior Camp, and can't wait to see you here in Calgary in September.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Sam Bennett of the Calgary Flames. He the honor of an entry-level contract, but he did get mentioned in a Biz Nasty tweet.
Probably the best part of his day.
Do you think?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It's a close one.
In terms of social media, there's none bigger than Biz Nasty.
No, that would be the key.
I'm just looking for it here. I want to find it. Or do you have it? Does somebody have it in front of them?
Yeah.
Okay. What does the tweet say?
Well, after Sam Bennett posted the picture of him signing his first NHL contract, Am I Dreaming, with the picture, Biz Nasty, buy an Escalade and then throw the rest in Bitcoins. Hashtag mentor.
Dude's got it set up. Biz Nasty knows what he's talking about.
There you go. That's the kind of role model you want.
So we have Brad Treliving coming up at 4 o'clock, and he will talk to us about this signing. And, you know, quite honestly, I didn't get enough questions in yesterday, so I'll take advantage of that opportunity. But
there you go.
Football Fridays is coming up. I've got Arash Madani. Who do you got?
I got Keenan McDougal from the Stampeders. Huge.
What did he do?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I know there's three other games still to be played this week in the CFL.
Right.
But he's got my vote for CFL Special Teams Player of the Week. Let's just say that. I don't have a vote that counts, but if I did, he would have it.
Well, fair enough. I don't have a vote, but he'd get it too. So
he would get it.
And we've also we've got a little NFL talk with Jordan Heath Rawlings coming up from Sportsnet. You know, we're having a lot of fun today and a lot of good things and all of that, but the off-field issue in the NFL needs to be addressed, and we'll talk to him about that later on in Football Fridays. As well, as I mentioned, in the 4 o'clock hour, Brad Treliving, we still need to go back and revisit that game because there's a lot to talk about, but it's also been somewhat of a newsworthy walkthrough for the Stampeders today.
Yeah,
we find out that there are injuries again, a couple of offensive linemen with sprained ankles.
Yeah, a couple guys carted off yesterday, not a good sign.
And yet another Canadian running back, Matt Walter, with a concussion. So Craig Head and Jones both with sprained ankles, and Matt Walter, concussion, so we'll see how that goes. I understand that Nick Lewis was very good today, had a very opinionated today, so we want to get that audio for you. A lot to do. But when we come back, our CFL insider, Arash Madani, joins us next. It's Football Fridays here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We are with Calgary sports fans through thick and thin. Here's hoping we have more thick than thin coming our way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.